Well, you would have heard on this show over recent weeks, I've covered the topic of the very low vaccination rates on our Indigenous communities. I think it's one of the very, very big issues facing our state and our country, in fact, over coming months as borders are starting to open up, including from December 17 here in Queensland. Well, I was also keen to have a look at our very near neighbour, a country we have very, very close ties with, and that, of course, is our friends across the water in Papua New Guinea. The vaccination rate in PNG is extremely, extremely low, and the cases are hundreds of cases per day. To find out more about this and get a really sort of a frontline view on it, very, very lucky to have my next guest on the line from Port Moresby. Her name is Anna Marlson. Now, Anna is the acting World Health Organization representative in PNG. She's absolutely flat out, as you can imagine. So very, very lucky to grab her for a quick chat. Anna, welcome to the King Review, first of all.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Give listeners a bit of a picture about what is the situation like there on the ground. We were talking just off air then that the vaccination rate of over 18, so eligible adults in PNG, is 1.7%. 1.7%, staggeringly low, frighteningly low numbers, in fact. Australia, the latest that I saw here, our over 16 rate is at nearly 81%. So you can obviously see there is a huge gap between our two countries. Tell listeners, Anna, about why is the rate so low? What's the situation like there on the ground?
So here currently in Papua New Guinea, we're experiencing our third wave and largely driven by what we suspect is the Delta variant of concern. And so we've had a significant surge. It's placed significant pressure on the country's hospitals and health resources. And whilst we're seeing some positive signs that transmission is slowing in the Highlands provinces, where the surge really took off there in September, we're now seeing signs of a new surge in the Islands region. And we have seen experience the overcrowding hospitals, the morgues have been filled to capacity, and provinces experiencing surge. And as of the 10th of November, PNG has reported a total of 32,279 confirmed cases of COVID-19, and that includes 415 deaths. Over half of these deaths have occurred since the 1st of August, and we know these numbers do not reflect the true numbers on the ground. The number of tests being conducted and officially reporting back is lower than what we expect, but a significant surge. And to compound all of this, we have seen huge vaccine hesitancy here in Papua New Guinea, and it's resulted in very low uptake of the vaccinations. And in the country, they have available now the AstraZeneca, the J&J, and the Sinopharm vaccines are available across all of the provinces. However, since just the start of the week, just over 250,000 people have been vaccinated with at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine, and over 180,000 people are fully vaccinated. So in a population of 9.8 million, that's still way too low, and we have a long way to go.
Very, very low indeed. And Anna, why such hesitancy? I mean, as I said, on Indigenous communities, there was a few factors that have been used as explainers for their very low vaccination rates there. You know, obviously misinformation spreading on social media being among them. What are some of the reasons for that extremely, extremely low vaccination rate there, as we said, about 1.7%?
Yeah, I think the misinformation is a significant issue here in country, partially linked to also a low risk perception around COVID-19 in general as a disease. And certainly we saw as some of those surges occurred in the Eastern Highlands or here in the National Capital District, and as we saw an increasing number of deaths, that translated to an increase in uptake of vaccination. I think also there's, religion is very important here. PNG is a strongly Christian nation. So the influence of theological thinking is important.
The religious aspect has been raised in some quarters in our Indigenous communities as well.
Yeah, and there's been a significant body of work that's been together, collaboration together, WHO and other partners, with the Council of Churches, who have been really strong advocates and getting behind the vaccination campaign, and have just released some additional information and a collective statement around the Council of Churches and supporting that. So we're really hoping to see some results in that partnership as local religious leaders get on board and talk to their communities and encourage the uptake of vaccines.
I'm very lucky to be speaking with Anna Marlson. Anna is the acting World Health Organization representative in PNG. Anna, what about the government over there? As you said, terrible to hear about, morgues are full, hospitals are absolutely overstretched. What's the government doing? Is there any plan or pathway that you can see out of this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we work very closely side by side with government, and really looking towards what is the road to recovery and how do we use the crisis as an opportunity to build a system for the future. So really helping to be strategic with investment. So I mentioned the laboratories before. Building a strong laboratory network and system within the country is with that longer term goal of ensuring that the country has that ability to respond in future to future outbreaks, looking at investments that support healthcare worker training and the infection prevention control practices, how we can also use this as an opportunity with government to increase the quality of services that people can access.
Mm. What's the PNG government talking about in terms of next steps? Is there any talk about, I mean, what's it been like with lockdowns and you know, how does it compare, I guess, to what Australia has managed this pandemic?
Yeah, so certainly next steps, as really the focus on is scaling up the access to the vaccines. So the government has established a ministerial task force on COVID-19 vaccination. And this is to really bring a strong whole of government focus towards accelerating the uptake of vaccines. So all partners are working together with the task force to look at all of these different opportunities of where we can improve access to increase that coverage. So it's from looking at innovations around more mobile vaccination sites, how we can leverage support with private sector partners. And we need to do this as quickly as possible because we know that the immunity from the current generation of vaccines starts to fade by about 6 months. And this means that we'll again be seeing a susceptible population to new COVID infection along with that large unvaccinated population. The government here is really looking towards the COVID recovery plan for the new normal. And we'll be living with this virus for years to come. So this will really require a whole of government, whole of society approach with strong governance, legal frameworks, policies, systems, networks, tools to guide the recovery of critical infrastructure, including the health sector, and to really look at how we can support building the resilience of the health system and other agencies and their communities. So that reopening of domestic and international borders safely will require a really multi-sectoral risk assessment and risk management plans, and particularly if there are emerging new variants of concern that may be even more infectious than the Delta variant or more virulent, that can cause more severe disease. So all of these things are really important, and WHO is working to advocate for this in a health and sort of all policies framework.
Well, we know how much pressure Australia's public health system has been under, particularly, of course, during those outbreaks in New South Wales and Victoria. Massive concerns should COVID, we have an outbreak here in North Queensland as well. But so I can only imagine the absolutely disastrous situation that some of those hospitals over in PNG are facing at the moment. Anna Marlson from WHO, thank you so much for your time on The King Review today.
You're welcome.